is Davin's Den.
And we are back. You are listening or watching Davin's Den with Joe, Pip, and yours truly, Davin. Had some fun. No longer chafed. Nice and powdered balls. Should have turned in part one to know what that's about. Let's, some balls are not getting powdered. Or maybe there's no balls to powder. I don't even know what's going on anymore in this world with these stories. But we will do some School of Fools. As usual, I have to pull up the stuff. There we go. School of Fools. Bam.
Ring around the rosy, pocket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down.
Shame, shame, shame.
School of Fool.
A transgender Mississippi girl is skipping her high school graduation after administrators demanded the teen dress like a boy for the ceremony, and a federal judge refused to block the order. The girl, 17, identified in court papers as LB, maybe it means little boy, I don't know, was told by Harrison Central High School, Pip, be careful with that soda, officials, she was expected to adhere to the boys' dress code for the graduation and wear pants, socks, and shoes, and a codpiece, goddammit, like a boy. The American Civil Liberties Union on Thursday sued the district on behalf of the teen and her parents. U.S. District Judge Taylor McNeil upheld the school's decision. The school's attorney had argued the Saturday ceremony was voluntary and attending isn't a constitutionally protected right. Meanwhile, Linda Morris, an attorney for the ACLU, called the move as disappointing as it is absurd. Our client is being shamed and humiliated for explicitly discriminatory reasons, and her family is being denied a once-in-a-lifetime milestone in their daughter's life, Morris said. No one should be forced to miss their graduation because of their gender. The teen had met all the qualifications to receive a diploma, according to school officials, and had even selected a white dress to wear with her cap and gown. According to the lawsuit, LB had worn dresses to class and other extracurricular activities throughout high school, including prom last year, and should have faced discriminatory treatment during graduation. After school officials learned LB planned to follow girls' dress code, how do they fucking learn? Are they hanging out in the girls' locker room? What the hell? How they learn? Who is fucking blabbing to them? Who the hell ever talked to school officials? I'm gonna get the what?
It probably posted it on Facebook.
No, see how out of touch you are. Let me tell you something. There's no high school kids on Facebook, my friend.
All right, then on Twitter or TikTok or something like
TikTok.
That.
I guess. They learn.
Maybe.
Oh, so that's even creepier. They're trolling students' Instagram and TikTok. Yuck. Oh, good God. Anyway. After school officials learned LB planned to follow the girls' dress code, school superintendent Mitchell King told the teen's mother she could not participate in the graduation ceremony unless LB wears pants, socks, and shoes like a boy, according to the suit. Which is kind of interesting that it'd be a suit and you have to wear pants, socks, and shoes, but no tie. Anyway, though LB... Oh, can I just talk about quickly? I don't understand this trend. It's been a while now. You see these kids, they're dressed to the nine, the boys, and they're wearing sneakers. I know this is a thing, and I know it has been for a long time, but I mean, if you're going to put on all that uncomfortable shit, can't your feet be uncomfortable too? I don't understand. Yes, Joe, they had huge shoulder pads too. Funny you should bring it up. But all of them, they're like all dressed really nice and they're wearing shoes. And they're clean sneakers. Don't get me wrong. It's just like, okay, whatever. I'm the old man here. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Though LB met the qualifications needed to graduate, the judge sided with the school district's attorney, Wynn Clark. You know what? If I'm going to hire an attorney, I want his name to be Wynn too. Pip, you might want to look into that. Who wrote in court papers Friday that taking part in a graduation ceremony is voluntary and not constitutionally protected for any student. Mississippi lawmakers have introduced over 30 bills this year aimed at limiting the rights of LGBTQ citizens. In 2021, the state became the first to ban transgender athletes from competing in women's and girls' sports. All right. Now, I can make the argument, if I wanted to, that you should not allow transgender athletes to compete in scholastic sports, because conceivably somebody's being harmed, and it could affect their future. Maybe they're not going to get the scholarship because they're not going to win the medal or something. I can make that argument, and people have made that argument. I cannot make the argument that somebody who's been wearing dresses all for the past several years is harming anybody by wearing a dress to their graduation. There's no way you can make that argument. So now you're doing this to the student, and you're spending my tax dollars in court to defend this fecocious student. This is Mississippi. I know y'all's education ain't that good anyway down there. Don't you think we could be using these tax dollars towards something a little bit better than defending this out of all the I just don't understand why. It makes no sense to me why this is a thing, because it hurts nobody.
There is a sense of decorum at graduation ceremonies. There's been plenty of stories where students were prohibited to wear certain things at a graduation.
Sure. Absolutely. Listen, Joe, she's not dressing like Madonna from the 90s video with the big cone bra. If she wanted to go with that, I go, all right, you know what? You gotta wear something a little bit more respectful. I love a cone bra, but, you know, listen, you got to walk very closely. You might poke somebody in the back. They might turn around somebody. They might lose an eye. You're not Madonna. She's wearing a dress.
It just seems that there could be a backstory with all of this going on.
But there's not. There could be a lot of things. That we have what we have. These are the facts we have, unless you've done additional research on LB, and I have not. We have what we have, where the student was wearing dresses throughout the school year. There was never a hassle. And now, at the last moment, they want to make a stink. I don't understand.
The people that reported their story are saying it's never a hassle. Maybe there was, and maybe there was a...
It's the New York Post, Joe. I assure you, if there was a hassle, they would have found it.
But still, you know, it might be leaving a piece of the puzzle out.
But these are the facts we have. So let's assume that these are the facts. If these are all the facts that we have, I don't understand why this is a thing. This is what... I don't understand why people get so worked up about shit like this. Like I said, I understand it with the high school sports. I understand that there's a possibility that you could be denying a cis girl or boy, whatever the case may be, an opportunity. I understand that argument. So I kind of stay out of that one and let the people, I would hope, in the know better than me, although it's usually not. This, I can't make an argument for this other than there being a bunch of dicks. That's really what it is.
I wonder if there was... I wonder how old this story is. I mean,
it's from this year.
I'm sorry?
It's from this year. It's from. I got it like in last week's New York Post.
Right. Exactly. So you would think that, have you ever seen anything else, any other stories of outrage from the students protesting this?
Nothing. And no, listen, Joe, but here's the thing. This student has been dressing like this apparently for the last couple of years. Usually these stories come up like at prom. Like there'll be stories that there's an issue at prom that you have to dress a certain way. Apparently this LB wore a dress at prom and there wasn't an issue. So why now at graduation?
Because maybe the prom is an offsite event, not on school grounds.
But it's still a school function. They're still selling prom tickets in school.
But maybe it's, you know, off school grounds. And I don't see any outrage, you know, listed on this, which would accompany the story, which remains. Looks to me like there might be a backstory on this.
There's no backstory unless you can find it. There's no back. This is the story. This is the story of a school board in Mississippi going to court over LB wanting to wear a dress. That's the story we have. And now, if you want to do additional research and we revisit this next week, I'm all for it. I'm all for it if you find something that we don't have in front of us, and you want to bring that to the table, I completely, wholeheartedly support it, and I'm willing to revisit it. That being said, this is the story. And if this is the story, it seems really freaking stupid and petty to me.
I agree. It just seems like what a ridiculous thing to draw your line in the sand about. This is so dumb. And I really do think that all these people are going to see that they're on the wrong side of history. You know, remember the dress wars? Come on.
Now,
really?
here's an interesting thing. A lot of girls, and I've seen this in my daughter's school. I don't really remember when I was in high school, those many years ago. But you'll see a number of girls, when they're doing performances, they won't wear a dress. They'll wear, like, you know, a suit. So what happens if a girl wanted to wear a suit to graduation? Would that have been a problem if she's not wearing a dress? I mean, I just don't understand why we're fighting over this. It's not a decorum issue. Like, we've seen that. You can't wear T-shirts. You can't have writing on it. We've seen those stories. But this isn't that. This is somebody wearing a dress. I mean, listen, if it's a really short dress and her balls are hanging out, I gotcha. Might be a little distracting. You know, save that for Times Square where it belongs. But there's no indication that that this is the story here.
Yeah, I don't get it. I really don't understand. And that was a good point, Devin. Spending taxpayer money in a state that is riddled with poverty. And this is the money. This is what you want to throw the money at. God help us.
It's well, after the next story, I'm going to ask a question because I've been thinking about this and I don't know what the answer is. But unless Joe has something to add, I'm going to move on to Target. Not to be a Target. What?
You can move on to Target.
Yeah, right. So this again is a transgender story. Target is removing certain items from its stores and making other changes to its LGBTQ+ merchandise nationwide ahead of Pride Month after an intense backlash from some customers, including violent confrontations with its workers. It's like they were wearing masks or something. Since introducing this year's collection, we've experienced threats impacting our team members' sense of safety and well-being while at work. Target said in a statement, goes, hey, our workers are not targets. It's just the name of the store. Leave them alone. Given these volatile circumstances, we are making adjustments to our plans, including removing items that have been at the center of the most significant confrontational behavior. Yes, you know what those items should be? The people acting like assholes. Those are the items. Anyway, I'll continue. That's how you solve a problem. Trust me, if I act like an asshole at Yankee Stadium, they're not removing the beer. They're removing me, the asshole. I assure you. Target declined to say which items it was removing, but among the ones that garnered the most attention were tuck-friendly women's swimsuits that allow trans women who have not had gender-affirming operations to conceal their private parts. Designed by Ab Prelin, a London-based company that designs and sells occult and satanic-themed LGBTQ+ clothing and accessories, have also created backlash. You know what this top to the bikini could use? A pitchfork. That's what it could fucking use. Anyway.
I like their pentagram wear.
You know what
is for me.
You know what I want to see on the back of a woman's bikini? Satan's tail. That's what I want to say. A swimsuit where she can use it as like a rudder as she swims into the waves. That's what I want to see. What are we doing? The Pride merchandise has been on sale since early May. Pride Month is held in June. Target confirmed that it has moved its Pride merchandise from the front of the stores to the back in some southern stores after confrontations, backlash, and shoppers in those areas. Well, if they're hiding them, doesn't that show a lack of pride? Anyway. Target's Pride Month collection has also been the subject of several misleading videos in recent weeks, with social media users falsely claiming the retailer is selling tuck-friendly bathing suits designed for kids or in kids' sizes. The moves come... But that's not a thing. This is following the Bud Light thing, which we've talked about ad nauseum. Target and other retailers, including Walmart and H&M, have been expanding their LGBTQ+ displays to celebrate Pride Month for roughly a decade. This year, transgender issues, including gender-affirming healthcare and participation in sports, have been a divisive topic in state legislatures, and the backlash has turned hostile. Target has lost $9 billion in market value since angry social media users called for a boycott of the Minneapolis-based retailer over its rollout of the Pride collection featuring, no, but it didn't feature LGBTQ-friendly clothing for children. A week ago, Wednesday, before the controversy erupted, Target stock closed at $160.96 a share, giving the big box chain market a capitalization of $74.3 billion. As of early trading on Thursday, this is of last week, however, shares of the company were trading off 1% at $141.76, capping a week-long tumble that has shrunk the cheap chic discount retailer at a value at $65.3 billion. Cheap chic. Okay.
Say that five times fast.
No. solve that problem. That amounts to a 12% drop that has averaged a whopping $9 billion off the company's market capitalization. All right. You know, I really don't give a shit what Target sells or anybody sells. I really don't care. Like I've never walked into Walmart because I'm classy. I'm cheap chic, except without the chic. I'm just cheap. I've never walked into Walmart and go, God damn it, Wrangler jeans. Enough of this shit. Wranglers haven't been relevant in years. I am raging against the machine. Who the fuck walks into a store and rages against shit that they're selling?
I'll tell you exactly who. People that had enough of this agenda forced on us.
What is being forced on you? You don't have to buy it.
But it shouldn't even be that. It's less than 5% of the population forcing their agenda on you. You don't.
What? All right, I've been thinking about this. What?
Here, they're trending to it. Now you walk into Target, they're trending to it. You walk into a Kohl's. This is called pushback. Now, what happened?
Hold on. Hold on.
When the crowd wants to cancel something, everybody goes, well, you have to do that. But when the pushback is...
Hold on. Stop.
It is now.
Stop. Stop. Please. For months you've been telling me the agenda. I don't know what the agenda is. What is this agenda?
You're ignorant to it and you're not paying attention.
Okay. Well, good. Inform us all. Here's your chance.
It's in a story. It's in the store.
No. What is the agenda?
The agenda is that they're pushing this ideology. You have...
Wait, hold on. What is the... I'm gonna hold you to this. So you have to have answers. What is the ideology of selling bathing suits?
That it's out there, okay? That it's in there, and it's forced on the general public.
Who is... Stop! Stop! You're going to have to answer...
Let me finish...
No, hold on! Because you're saying things, and they need answers.
Explain myself, okay?
Who is being forced?
You're not the be-all, know-all here.
I'm asking you questions!
The rest of the country is, and you can see this, that these companies are losing billions of dollars.
That's fine, I don't care!
How bad it is when you have an agenda for 5% of the people, and you walk in, and that's the first thing you see... Something that's marketed to less than 5% there, okay? You're pushing your ideology and your agenda on something. You have the right to be and do whatever you want, but don't force it down others.
What is the agenda? What is the agenda? What are they trying to accomplish? I don't understand.
What they were trying to accomplish is they're forcing their ideology.
What is the ideology?
The ideology is there is something physically and mentally wrong with them, and they're pushing it on the rest of the country.
That's not an ideology.
If you're getting agenda dressing like Dylan Mulvaney or whatever, you got a fucking screw loose.
Well, that's not medical or clinical. That's your opinion.
It's ideology and it's agenda shoving it down our throat. And what happens is with the marketing people, it's all these woke marketing people that think it's fun. Well, what happened is they went mainstream with it. Mainstream and a beer, mainstream in the store.
That's fine.
And they're finally realizing that they got to back off.
That's fine.
Big problem.
That's fine. But I still have not had explained what the agenda is. An agenda means a group of people.
Forcing your lifestyle on somebody. And you're one, and when it should be private, and you're forcing it on somebody in the public, and you want everybody to be fucking enamored with it.
Hold on. So do you want them in the closet? Is that what you want?
I want them to live their life without forcing their agenda.
What is the agenda?
The agenda is forcing a perverse lifestyle, a weird lifestyle, on the rest of us.
Well, that's your opinion. But I don't see how it's being forced.
I'll tell you something. It's a lot of opinion because Target lost $9 billion.
That's fine.
$25 billion. That's the opinion of 90%.
That's fine. I don't have a problem with that opinion. I still don't understand what's being forced. They're selling clothing. And if people want to listen, you want to boycott a store, I don't care. Now, you don't have a right to be an asshole and threaten people. There you don't have the right to be.
That's wrong.
Yes.
You still have the right to complain about it.
Sure.
When it's a perverse lifestyle. I'm sorry. It's a perverse lifestyle. It's being forced on everybody from less than 5% of the public on the rest of the 95%. And there's pushback on it now. Deservedly so. People work hard. They don't want to come home. They want to raise their kids. They don't want to see Budweiser, Bud Light especially, being, you know, a blue-collar beer being associated with a transgender person. They want to go into Target. They want to buy some clothes. They don't want to see this transgender stuff in the store. They want to go to Kohl's. They don't want to see it there. And they're doing that because you got these woke advertisers that think everybody is just going to fall down in love with this stuff. And that's not the case.
Now, did you ever see the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Yes.
Nobody had a problem with Tim Curry, and you can't get more perverse and twisted than Tim Curry's character in this. They're just selling bathing suits. And listen, I don't care if people want to boycott because they're selling it. That's their right. I'm not saying they can't. But I also don't want to hear I don't want to hear about liberals and cancel culture, because this is cancel culture too, which is fine.
And they're getting a taste of their own medicine.
It's their fucking medicine. They started with the Dixie Chicks, and I don't care. Just don't cry victim when somebody you like gets canceled. Again, I don't give a shit about this. You want to boycott a store? Boycott a store. You don't want to listen to a musician's music? Have at it. I don't care. You can't be violent assholes about any of this shit. And I still don't understand this gay agenda. Because as I was saying, an agenda means you're trying to, I guess, indoctrinate or accomplish something. And the only thing I could see they want to accomplish is to not have to hide. And you can make the argument, well, it shouldn't be at the front of the store because it's a minority of the population. And that, I would say, you might have a point, but I guess that's to the marketing people, because there's a science behind how they do this, and maybe they did miscalculate, and that's fine too.
Oh boy, did they.
That's fine. That's fine. I got no problem with capitalism. I got problems with people being assholes, and I got problems with an agenda because people want to be. They a lot of things that any of us do are weird to other people. I don't think anybody wants to live in Pat Robertson's vision of America where homosexuals.
Well, that's kind of crazy. I got two women 30 feet away that are a gay couple that don't push their agenda on.
But I don't know. I've never.
Contingent that does, there's going to be pushback on that.
I've never. The closest I've come to any sort of gay agenda is years ago when I was a hot piece of ass and I started dating my wife. We went to a diner and there was a bunch of gay people there and they started checking me out. That's the closest I've come to the gay agenda.
You won the argument. Next story.
What? What did he say?
He said, I changed my opinion. You won the argument.
Now, there was no cowboy hat. This was pre-cowboy hat, my friend. It was late night at a diner on Route 4. It was a main place. It's no longer there. I think at one point it was a car dealership afterwards. Maybe it was the Forum? Maybe it was the Forum. You guys remember.
The Arena?
No, not the Arena. That's in Hackensack. The Forum diner. It doesn't matter. It's not there anymore.
I told you the story where I was doing that room that was in Poconos. That Rick Abono that booked. So I'm doing that, and he goes, you want to bring your own MC? Yeah, I'll bring the kid. There's a kid that was working the clubs, and he had some kids, you know. So I go, yeah, you want to work the street? Yeah, all right, listen to me. Meet me in the park and ride in Melville. And then it dawned on me a day later, I go, you know, that's a notorious gay hangout. And I'm like, oh boy, well, what the hell? That's where comics meet, you know, fucking so. So I pull in, help! Let me in the car! Let me in the car! So and they all suck like vultures, guys, you know. So I'm pulling out, and I'm like, oh great, they're gonna think I'm picking up this guy. I go, let him. He's adorable. I felt like I was picking up Deborah Winger in An Officer and a Gentleman.
So Joe, what you're telling me is gay men are just as piggish as straight men. That's what you just told me. Because if there was a hot woman,
they're both men, they want to get laid.
Exactly. So that's what it is. It's not a gay agenda. That's a male agenda. Now, I alluded to this in the story. If Target really wants to send the message, and maybe they should rearrange the store towards what's more popular. I don't know why they would put something like that in the front of the store. I don't think they should hide it. But why wouldn't you be putting out the statement, if you harass or threaten any of our workers, we will prosecute you to the fullest extent of the law? That would be the statement I put. And that covers more than just this. That covers everything. If you act like an asshole,
you put that on, like, when you walk in the opening doors, the automatic doors, they have all sorts of shit. Just put that on there.
Right, but what I'm saying is their statement is a place of weakness, is in a position of weakness. Like I said, they could move the stuff to the back of the store if they want. I don't give a shit one way or the other. But I would, if you're making the statement about the Southern stores, you also need to make the statement, we're not going to stand for this shit. But they didn't make that statement. So, I mean, we saw this with the masks when people would walk into these stores and they're threatening these 17-year-old clerks or 16-year-old clerks or 30. Stop being a damn asshole. You get no points. I'd be much more sympathetic to your point of view if you acted like a decent human being. And like Joe said, you want to complain? Complain. You want
to
be...
When you don't buy this stuff, listen to me. If you're going to get out of hand with it, that's a problem. Look, if I'm in a store and there's some store policy and I'm starting to lose my patience, I'll say to myself, to my eye, I go, was this girl at headquarters? And she raised her hand and go, I think this is a great idea. I think we should institute it. They just work there. They got to carry out. So, I mean, in the day program, I got to do some stuff. I think it's absolute bullshit. Unless I work, you know, I work for my boss. I work for the line, you know. But like I said, you got to hand. So put something on the door so people don't get out of hand with it. But show it with your buying power. Don't go in the store.
That's fine.
Stuff. I mean, look at the point.
That's fine. I just don't want to hear about people on the right whining about cancel culture and then touting, sticking out their chest for what they're doing to Target or Bud Light.
Now, maybe when you people start to have that attitude with the right over this, over the left, maybe everybody will just start keeping their fucking mouth shut with shit that they don't like. I don't know.
Well, that's what we should be. Like I said, if you walk in and this really offends you, and I got to tell you, nothing would fucking offend me. Like, unless they're selling swastikas, which is a symbol of hate. Like, these are not symbols of hate. These are symbols of acceptance. You either accept or don't accept. I'm not in everybody's soul. But if you had anti-white stuff, anti-black stuff, anti-Jewish stuff, yeah, I'm gonna anti-gay stuff.
You ever been to the boardwalk on the Jersey Shore?
Not in a long time.
God.
But yeah.
So terrible.
But you know what? I would not frequent those places. But this is a place of inclusion. I mean, and it's not even... And they spread lies about it, like kids' bathing suits, which would be a whole different conversation, but we don't need to have that conversation because it wasn't true. So it's like they're like, we're not getting enough attention with this. Let's lie about the shit and make it worse. And a lot of people get worked up into a fever over shit that's not even true. This is the problem. This is why I think it was on the pre-show with Pip, and I said the asteroid cannot come quick enough because we are so fucking stupid.
Yeah. Yeah,
the
really.
What, I'm sorry. The what came quick?
The asteroid.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should know. You're in outer space, stupid. Look behind you. It's gaining on you.
Look behind you! Look behind you.
That's
so funny. Oh, my God.
So here's my question. Usually, when minorities of any type are targeted like this, things are going badly in the country. We saw a lot of this. We saw a lot of this with Muslims after 9/11. Well, you know, and Sikhs too. Muslims and Sikhs were targeted after 9/11. Everybody was scared. You know, it was a free fall there for a little while. And I'm trying to think about, well, is what's going on now? Is it because things are so bad in the country that people are doing what they always do? They're stepping on the people below them, which happens in societies. It happened in Germany leading up to World War II with the Jews. So it's not unique to the Americans. Or are things so relatively good for most of us that we just have to start shit with something?
I think what's happening is that when the cancel culture started to take hold, people losing their jobs about saying stuff, people, you know, were saying this, whether they're right or whether they're wrong, people are losing their job because people, well, you can't do that. We'll see that doesn't happen. And then you see an alternate lifestyle being shoved in the forefront. There starts to be a pushback. Whoa. So you're silencing us, but you're pushing this through. And people started to be pushback on this.
But
it's the fascist playbook. Whenever the people in charge want to divide the proletariat, you set them against each other so that they can't see what the one percenters are doing. So it's you always pick a scapegoat. Is it Jews? Is it blacks? Who is it this time? And we'll just pick one. And then make up stories about them, you know, keep pushing their violent rhetoric against them, keep going on and making up stories. Oh, no, they're making transgender underwear for toddlers. Keep making up stuff and keep saying, look at how horrible and disgusting this particular group is. Let's all dogpile on them. And then don't notice what is being thrust upon you by above.
You know, I would agree with that for the simple fact, if you look at race relations, okay? My generation came out of the bigotry of the 60s, okay? And the intolerance of the 70s, where you looked at African Americans, black people, that, you know, the hatred, the perception is not there, and the bigotry that our parents had is not there. And we moved along, and, you know, basically, you know, people were making their way, you know, anywhere, you know, African Americans were making strides, and, you know, everything seemed to be fine until the pandemic hit and all the Black Lives Matter struck, and it seems that it's turning us against us by the right and the race baiters on the left. Also with the gay culture, people of my age accepted the gay culture. I know gay people. They're nice people. They don't bother any of their friends. They get, and the thing has always been, they're nice people. You know, who gives a shit? But now it's always being pushed, you know, it's always being pushed on you that, a little extra. With transgender people, I saw people that were, that decided to dress like a man, that were man and dressed like a woman. And then, but one of the guys I used to roadie for is now a woman. There's a comic that is now a woman. And I didn't look at it and go, are you free? It's like, if that's the lifestyle we want, you're free to do that. It's your right to happiness, you know? And a majority of people felt that way because you weren't pushing the issue. Look, you have your pursuit of happiness, all right? And it just seems lately that they're pushing it a little farther, where a lot of things that some people believe in or that are being silenced. So there's got to be a tipping point. I think that it's getting to the point where there's going to be pushback from the right on this, where a lot of the left with Black Lives Matter, if you said anything, whether they looked into your past, they would say, well, you need to be silenced. And now you're seeing the people that are being silenced having this come in and go, well, you know what? We're going to protest this. So we're in a matter of flux. And it gets back to what you said, Pip, and what you said about fascism. That's kind of, if you look at that, that's kind of in the playbook. So it's kind of disquieting what you said, but for a reason to be aware of that, of what you said. Because it is very interesting, and it is kind of in that playbook. So, yeah, we need to see where this is going to go.
I think I know where this is going to go. Because today it's the gay people. It'll be somebody else tomorrow. It could easily be a minority. I mean, we've seen every... That's the problem. We're scapegoating. And I was thinking about, like, I know eggs were really expensive at one point. Like, there's been inflation, and that hurts everybody. But I bought an 18 eggs for $1.74 this weekend. So the price of eggs has come down. So inflation is starting to wane. And I think about the migrant situation. And realistically, most of the people in the country aren't dealing with it or forced to face it, because for the most part, it's a border situation, and the people in those regions are really, I would say somewhat unfairly, asked to take the full burden of that when it's a national issue and should not be a local issue.
Well, now that they're forcing it on the sanctuary cities, and the one complaint that Mayor Adams has is that he's not really getting any support from the Biden administration.
That's a problem. But anyway, so my point is, we're not at war right now. We have record unemployment. The market's doing okay. Things are actually relatively good right now. We are past COVID, which was a real problem for 3 years. I mean, things are really relatively good. So it's not like, you know, where the economy went to shit in Germany and you had to scapegoat the Jews. Or it's not like after 9/11 where everybody was in a panic and you had to punch every Muslim you saw. Things are pretty good right now. So why are we losing our
relatively
shit? Yes.
But the middle class is still suffering.
Yes.
Because of the change in the economic structure, particularly taxation in this country. So it's like people, this generation is not able to live better than their parents' generation. And that is a problem. We have stifled the middle class by giving so many tax breaks to the upper crusties, and now the middle class is closer to the lower class. We're all fighting over the same scrap of bread like rats. So it's this is a temporary calm. It's not going to stay that way, because even though gas has gone down, eggs have gone down, inflation is still there, making the dollar stretch and making ends meet. When you have so many people in one of the richest countries in the world living below the poverty line, we have so much starvation and homelessness. And people are fighting to say, please don't take away our Medicare and cut back on our Social Security. Please don't let the drug companies rape us for our insulin and our medication anymore. When you have those many things still percolating, we're not in a good place.
Well, it kind of goes back to, when you bring it like that, it kind of goes back to what Obama got skewered on, but was right. People cling to their guns and their Bibles. Why are they clinging to their guns and their Bibles, or whatever the case may be? Because shit is so bad, that's all they have. So maybe you're right. Maybe it's so bad for the middle class that, you know, clinging to the Bible and shitting on somebody else is all we have. And if you're a politician, you know, this anger campaign, it doesn't actually get you elected, though. It really doesn't, because unless it's gerrymandered, the Republicans are losing on this. They won 49 states with Ronald Reagan, who was an optimistic Republican. I mean, forget about the policy. Forget about the policy, what happened. His was an optimistic message. And I brought this guy up last week. The only Republican that seems to be optimistic that's in the race right now is the senator out of South Carolina, Tim Scott. He, you know, now he's blaming the left for shit. I get it. It's politics. That's fine. But his vision and his story of how he has risen to power and climbed the social ladder is an optimistic one, kind of like Obama's, you know, where, you know, for him to be a senator from the family he came from never could have been foreseen. But it'll be interesting to see. And Biden's an optimistic person. It'll be interesting. I don't think it'll happen. But the best thing for this country would be if you had a Biden Tim Scott campaign. And Biden might lose that one, by the way. But you would have two optimistic candidates with an optimistic view of what we can be.
And I've been saying this like a broken record. The Republican Party, the Conservative Party, needs a candidate that a moderate Democrat or a undecided would vote for.
Tim Scott.
That's what we need.
Now, I don't think Tim Scott is moderate, but I think you'd get independents and you'd get African Americans, possibly. Yeah. But I don't think he's going to get past Trump.
But still, bottom line is that you see that, and yeah, and you could talk about inflation, but you go to the supermarket every week. A bag of groceries that was $35 2 years ago is $50.
No, you're right. You're right. And that
prices have been level. But the thing about it is that this whole green New Deal was put into the infrastructure bill. And the problem is that they're pushing electric cars, and we don't have a grid system that is set up to handle it yet.
Yeah, but I don't think that's why eggs and butter and milk was really expensive.
No, the reason the thing with eggs was the bird flu. The bird flu,
which was not in the United States. Which basically the egg makers in the United States, they marked it up because they could.
No, wasn't the bird flu here as well?
No, we didn't have an outbreak.
Oh.
But anyway, doesn't matter. But yeah, it's. Listen, I mean, right now it seems to be the trans people. But like, as Pip said, it's always fucking somebody. And that's the thing, man. That's why I just like, it's like people got to chill out. And like Pip said, look at what's going on. Now, I mean, this is where I guess what ideology you subscribe to, I guess, is where you vote. But I will tell you this.
It's everybody pushing their agenda a little bit too far.
Well, I really hope. Well, I want Biden to win, but I hope it would be really good for the country if Tim Scott became the one to come out of the Republican Party, because he is optimistic, and I think it would be good to have the never ending presidential campaign be fought between two people that I think love the country and are optimistic.
And I'll give you an example of the religious right pushing a judge. My family friend that he rides, the family's been friends 80 years, and we go up to the farm together, and we talk politics most of the time, and we both are conservative Republicans. He brought it up to me that this whole abortion pill thing is the stupidest damn thing, and it's the worst for the, you know, this whole thing trying to outlaw it is the stupidest thing for the party. And I brought up my reasons, but I'm not going to go into it. I brought it up on the show a couple of weeks ago. So when, you know, you have conservatives looking at what the far right is doing, you're like, you got to use your head with shit.
Well, like I said, and then we'll move on. If I'm the Democrats, I'm running on guns and abortion. That's what I'm running on this year. But they won't listen to me. So who the fuck knows what they'll run on. All right, let's do some comics in the news.
And now it's time for Comics in the News.
Punchline. Lee House Shu is a popular stand-up comedian who goes by the stage name House, and he was performing here in Beijing last weekend. The joke he told, for most people, especially those outside of China, sounds innocuous. He was talking about his two adopted stray dogs chasing a squirrel, and he said it made him think of a well-known Chinese phrase that translates to maintain exemplary conduct, fight to win. The problem is that it's a military slogan that's often used by China's President Xi Jinping. So when somebody posted an audio recording of Lee's show to social media and said they were offended, the authorities came down hard on Lee and the company that staged the show. They were fined $2 million. And Lee is now under police investigation for, quote, severely insulting the People's Liberation Army, and said his joke had, quote, a vile societal impact. Now, Lee has apologized repeatedly. He's issued a statement. He said, I will take responsibility for this. Stop all performances, reflect deeply, and study again. The company fired Lee and issued their own apology, but their offices in Beijing and Shanghai have already been shut down. Now, this is a scandal that is lighting up Chinese social media. Well over 4 billion views have been generated so far on Weibo, mostly from nationalists, but there are also people who think that a $2 million penalty is just far too harsh. Now, stand-up comedy is actually a relatively new scene here, at least as a main stage or primetime performance. For many years, it functioned underground because of the sensitivity around joking about politics or traditions here. A lot of the controls on expression have intensified in recent years under Xi Jinping, and how this harsh reaction is resonating shows that it is no laughing matter.
I don't even think I would attempt stand-up comedy if I lived in China.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. They have no sense.
Oh, my. When do you guys get a tour of North Korea?
Well, as Joe likes to say, dogs are funny, except in this case, apparently.
You see, Stalo is bad.
Yeah. Yeah, at least you didn't get fined $2 million for bombing. Yeah, we're going to pass on you, and you owe us $2 million. You were so bad at it that the police are going to investigate you. That's how bad you are. Could you imagine? Can you imagine an American comic going, you know what? Can you imagine an American comic after this type of complaint, you know what? I'm going to stop doing comedy in a while, and I'm going to reflect, and I apologize. No! We're going to fucking double down and make it worse. That's what an American comic would do. But, I mean, like I don't want to hear anybody, but especially comics, go, I don't have free speech. I can't do dead baby jokes. No, no. This is not having free speech. This is literally performing comedy and not having free speech. This is your government coming after you. This is you getting fired by your management and them closing the management's offices. That's what not having free speech is.
I should bring this story down to the fucking mic, down to Alibi or Vintage, and have you, just to go with the governor, really? Look at the shit you just did to be in a fucking gulag with that stuff.
Yeah, it's... It really is a great story to put things in perspective.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, it's amazing when, you know, we crow about, oh, you know, our things are happening to us and it's not fair and everything. But then you put it in perspective when you see these unbelievably, you know, I can't think of the word I want, you know, these crushing governments that they just, all you need to do is get on the wrong side of them, and it's not only you, it's your family. You know, they don't play.
Yeah, oh boy. Oh boy, they have no sense of fucking humor.
Now, I will say if this Chinese comic ever does get to the United States, he will be a special event. I am sure of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. But he would actually have to stay here once whatever he says here, because there's no going back.
And you want to know something? In New York City, they do say that they do have Chinese secret police, in at least in New York City, that if you do something, they'll get you.
Really?
Yeah.
I wish they would come to our Chinese place. They never fucking put fortune cookies in the bag. I wish they would do something about that.
Oh, my God.
What?
Yes, those are exactly the same steaks.
No, well, it's not the same thing, but I'm saying if you got the Chinese police milling around, well, listen, they're raising suspicion by shaving the Chinese fortune cookie off the top. I'm just saying I'm not pleased. Anyway, okay. Yeah, I don't listen. I give these comics credit for trying to do stand up comedy there, but if you're a comic, you tend to think outside the lines and be creative, unless you just want to be a corporate comic. So I kudos to them, but it's not worth it.
I tell you, if you do a corporate comic and do events Chinese, you know that you're acting. You are working for the man, literally. Everybody, your act, you've got to make a judgment. You think they take a look at shit before you go on a late night show. Look at the Chinese government looking at you. You know, do that. But that was funny. Dogs are funny. Dogs are food. You know, make joke. All right.
Wow.
Wow.
You make joke about food. All right.
You know, it's just the fact that they're saying, oh, you have to apologize to the military. In a country like that, yeah. Yeah, I'd be, sending sympathy, you know, I'd be sending, I'm sorry cards.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Sending the bouquets of flowers and I whatever they want.
Here's the thing. Do you really want a military that's a bunch of sensitive Sallys that needs an apology for a joke? Oh, my feelings are hurt. I'm not going to go to war. Shut up, you pussy.
It does sound a little bit weird, you know, it's like you've offended them, really?
They know how to use weapons. They ran over people in Tiananmen Square. They'll be fine.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's a picture. Yeah.
Oh, God.
I don't know. I don't have the gumption. I don't have the bravery to be one of those people who says, you know, I'm going to be on the forefront of this. I'm going to die for it, but I'm going to be on the forefront of this.
Oh, God. And all we, and if that's sensitive, all we have to do is send our troops on the banks of Taiwan when they start attacks. Hey, Wang, where did you get that gun? You heard my feeling about gun. Me don't want to go home. And we wind up winning.
You hurt my feelings about gun.
Scotch just busted their balls. All you need is 10 guys from a street corner in Brooklyn. The fucking war is won in about 25 minutes.
Yeah, it really is.
What you want feeling?
Really, if that hurts your feelings, you're right. Let them really have it. Jeez.
It's a shame. I feel like this comedian got canceled. This is real cancel culture. This isn't the nonsense. This isn't the nonsense we were just talking about. This is real cancel culture. Like this guy could disappear.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They come with a fucking truck at night. Yeah.
No, I mean, listen, they made whistleblowers disappear when COVID-19 was starting. So people in the United States and Western society need to shut the fuck up and realize how lucky we are.
They fucking bolted people into their houses. Well, we want to go out. No, you know. And we'll get out some night because we're going to bolt your house up.
Yeah. No, they're locked out. Our lockdown was you can go to the grocery store. Their lockdown is we'll drop off some food when we feel like it.
Yeah.
Well, if you starve in there, too bad.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do some turbulent air.
This is your captain speaking. If you look to your right, you'll see a beautiful, serene river. If you look to your left, majestic mountains. Uh-oh. Straight ahead, it seems like we have a big black cloud. We're going to need you to fasten your seatbelts, folks, because it looks like we're in for a turbulent flight.
A woman has claimed that her fiance was booted from her first class seat to coach on an international United Airlines flight to sit a crew member there instead. Danielle Schwab and her fiance Mikey were allegedly traveling with her parents from London's Heathrow Airport to Chicago when the incident occurred, slamming it as ridiculous. Okay, so I'm recording this right now because we're in United Airlines going from Heathrow to Chicago, and we booked these seats. We're in first class. We booked these seats fair and square, Schwab said, retelling her story on TikTok that's now had over 5.6 million views.
What is this, the 30s? Yeah, see, we booked this at fair and square.
By Jiminy.
And all of a sudden, my fiance, we just got engaged. Aww. Just got moved to coach. According to the irate woman, her fiance and three other people were moved from first class to sit economy. I understand that the crew works really hard. However, we booked these seats ahead of time, and this is not fair, she said indignantly. This is not customer service. I'm sorry. It's just not customer service. Like, this is ridiculous. In a follow-up video. Ooh, a sequel. Schwab said once they disembarked for their layover, a United representative greeted them, but claimed he did little to help, offering only a glorified hole. No, a glorified fast pass through the airport as consideration. I'd love a glorified hole. That's the Admiral's Club. Anyway.
Are you pushing your agenda with glory hole talk?
I most certainly am.
I can see, like, the Admiral's Club. There's the Admiral with the oldie-time Admiral hat. And he can't get his mouth on the glory hole because the Admiral he had has that long front and he can't get his head by the door.
Bonk. I can't get close enough.
Semen, so I can get some.
Apparently this Admiral's incapable of removing his hat. Anyway. Makes you wonder how he got
the Admiral hat.
Captain Crunchy hat. That's the Captain Crunch wore, same type of hat.
No, the Captain Crunch hat, you'd be fine because it's long. It doesn't like keep you far from the wall. It's wide. You want yourself a Captain Crunch hat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but what if he goes to lick the head of the shaft? Then maybe he's going to hit the side of the wall and knock his hat off.
Go on, Joe. What else do you envision happening?
The swabby on the other side of the wall.
Joe, tell us more about this shaft work.
No, we do.
Pip, Joe's pushing his shaft agenda.
All right, I'm just saying.
Yeah, Apparently, so, apparently you want to push something too. Anyway, I'll move on. I don't know if that'll make the musical, but if Joe's in charge, it might. Anyway.
To your chagrin.
Yes, to my chagrin. And Joe will acquiesce and he'll put the glory hole scene towards the back of the musical.
Oh, my God.
He gave us a business card and just contact him whenever. Hey, holler. Like I'm going to call him at 3 a.m. You up? What does that mean? Contact him whenever. Mikey recalled adding that the man offered to take them through customs ahead of their next flight, but nothing else. He basically kicked us to the curb like yesterday's glory hole leftover, Schwab added. You got a little something on your chin. The couple also alleged that another passenger had also been downgraded, was swiftly compensated, while airline staff told them there was nothing they could do and encouraged them to submit a claim online. According to the couple, they were told that occasionally passengers have to be moved for crew members to sit in their specialized seats aren't working or available. Basically, what we were told is this is how it works. Flight attendants take turns taking naps in the back of the plane. There's usually bunks or seats that go out into a bed, she said. So if a seat is not working, what they did instead was they went ahead and booted four people out of first class, including Mikey, and he didn't like it. A spokesperson from United Airlines confirmed this with the Post, saying the customers involved have been compensated. The seats we normally reserve for crew members to take their required rest breaks weren't working on this flight, so we unfortunately had to reassign two customers to Premium Plus, which used to be just fucking coach back in the day. Rather than
they make that a fancy or Premium Plus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rather than cancel the flight, the spokesperson said via email, we understand the customer's frustration and are refunding the price difference for their seats and giving them each a $1,500 certificate for future travel. The Post also reached out to Schwab. However, TikTok users were horrified by the newly engaged couple's story. A flight attendant should never get first priority over a paying customer. All right. So it turns out legally, like, they have to have these reclining seats. So apparently the only option was to cancel the fucking flight. Apparently that's the only other option. So I guess they had no choice. But it does suck. And $1,500, that's not enough. Because I don't want to fly with you anymore. I want cash.
And you know what? I mean, it's usually, you know, because we've been, you know, we do gigs and stuff like that. We're in show biz. It's always patrons first. You know, you eat last. You sit, you know, in the corner. It's patrons first. They paid their money. So the flight crew got to sit where they have to sit because these people paid for first class on a first class flight.
But legally they can't. Legally they, for safety reasons, they have to be able to nap.
Yeah. I do understand that, I mean, you know, probably union and safety reasons, they do have to allow them the opportunity to sleep so that they can, you know, be, you know, have so many hours that they're sleeping and that so many hours awake. You don't want them to be like passing out while they're attending to passengers, especially if something does go wrong. However, this is just another indignity from the airlines because they've been doing these things. You know, how many times do people have to get bumped from planes for these fakakta reasons? It's so irritating. How dare you oversell flights on the regular?
But they didn't. That's not this. They didn't oversell the flight.
I understand that, but I'm just saying that they do stuff like that all the time, and this is just another thing that they've decided, oh, you know what, we can't manage our schedules properly, so we're just going to throw the shit at the customer, and you're just going to have to like it.
And I kind of get their point where they have to move a crew because it can affect that flight, or it could affect a connecting flight where they need a crew. Well, we have
right.
to, okay, I get it. When we get to the gate or when we get to the thing, we're going to fucking wheel and deal or I'm going to spend this flight telling you what I want for this. You know? And look, it's their plane. They can tell you, well, this is the deal. Well, I don't, I'm going to throw you off the fucking plane.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. The passenger's real.
I negotiate and I want decent compensation.
But that's the thing. There really is no power to negotiate, unfortunately.
But you try to get the best deal you can. If you can't, they're playing their rules.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's the way it is.
I would have liked to have seen a cash payout instead of a flight voucher. I don't want to fly with you anymore.
Yeah.
Right. I don't want to be back.
That's what I would, you know, that's what I would, that's one of the things I would say. Well, I don't want to fly with you anymore. I want cash back put on my card for the inconvenience that you caused. And that's not, you don't even have to go to mediation or like the small claims court. That's a reasonable thing to ask. I don't like how I was treated. I get it. That's the way you want to do business. I don't want a credit for another flight. I'm not flying with you again. What I do want is I want the difference from first class from a regular coach refunded. I want the full amount of the flight one way put back on my card. And that's more than...
I think Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer, I think they want a passenger's bill of rights for airlines. I think that's something they both want.
As much as I'm not thrilled with Buttigieg, I think that is something he's trying to get together.
I don't know why the Republicans are going to fight them on this. It's a win-win for everybody but the airline industry. Fuck the airline industry. We've given them so much.
I don't give a damn who comes up with it. You know, the airline industry, listen to me. I used to love flying. I love flying. I hate it now. I can't stand flying. Half the reason that I drove down, when we were working in the Carolinas, Dav, and I drove down there, was I was just so disgusted of flying to Vegas the month prior. I'm like, I'm not even dealing with a fucking plane. I'll just drive the fucking gig.
But as I recall, you got stuck in a lot of traffic, so maybe the flight would have been better.
Yeah, you want to know something? Not just to deal, you know, but I just didn't have to deal with all the shit. Yeah, and that, you know, that route I chose to go home that night, because I'm a moron and I wanted to go over the bridge, the long bridge. So yeah, that was my choice. But, you know, still, I mean, just flying the whole thing. And the damned airport, you know, where we're working in, we're only 5 miles away. Jesus Christ, you could hear the planes take off in the fucking condo. But it's just like, I was so disgusted with paying the car place or paying an Uber or paying the car place and then getting on the plane. And, you know, I know David probably could pick me up, but still, just dealing with all that. So I'm like, fuck it, I'm just driving down there. Fuck it.
All right.
Well, you know what? I mean, there was a terrible juxtaposition between this guy who told a joke and is in terrible trouble in China versus, I don't want to move my chair. But having said that, it really is, it's just another indignity from the airlines.
Oh, yeah. And believe me, it's just as martial law, that fucking airplane, that it is in China. You know, it's their plane, their rules.
That's true.
With something, if you like what you want, if you want to cut a deal, that's fine. If you don't, here's the deal we're taking. Well, that's bullshit. Then you're off the fucking plane. You know, so yeah, and that, you know, it is what it is.
True.
All right, let's get to the story we didn't get to last week. It's about your phone and your butt. A few surveys.
We sound like perverts making these noises before the butt story.
Yeah, right.
A few surveys have been conducted on the subject, and one conducted by NordVPN earlier this year. 65% of respondents of 9,800 adults surveyed said they use their phones in the bathroom, but it also just feels anecdotally true. The habit isn't a new one. People have kept books and magazines by the porcelain throne for decades. With ever smaller and more portable devices in our pockets, it seems intuitive that we return to those devices in a quiet moment. Well, unless you have Mexican, then it's not so quiet. Look! Then it sounds like the Grouchy firework display. Anyway, look, there are two types of people in the world, said Nir Eyal, an author and lecturer who writes about habits, focus, and human behavior. People who check their phone in the bathroom and people who lie about checking their phone in the bathroom.
Love that line.
The practice is normally kept behind locked bathroom doors and left politely undiscussed. But in October, there was a vibe shift brought about by the release of Marvel Snap, a new card game available on phones and tablets. Marvel Snap is the best game to play on the toilet currently, tweeted popular streamer, not steamer, and content creator Saqib Linkseed to his almost 650,000 followers. I hate Marvel Snap, and so does my toilet seat, blared a headline on the video game website VG247, and although full disclosure may not be desired by readers of an article like this one, I feel compelled to say I too play Marvel Snap on the toilet. So I am Spartacus, which prompted the question: is it healthy to sit in the toilet with a phone? I turned to a gastroenterologist for answers. You generally don't want to spend more than about an average of about 10 minutes, said Dr. Rashini Raj, a gastroenterologist at NYU Long Gone.
He never read a good story before.
And the author of Gut Renovation, a book about digestive health, the Raj acknowledged that, like with many things in medicine, there's not one-size-fits-all answer. She pointed to three potential pain points for preoccupied poopers.
Say that five times fast.
Hey, now, look, when you save a story, when in your car magazine, your truck magazine, they're gonna put a 454 crate engine in a 67 C10 Chevy. You know, the day revolves around getting to that story. You might even eat chips, chicken, salad, so you can get to the story.
Just to have enough an excuse to stay on the ball long enough.
I want to finish the story. Yeah. Yeah, because they got to put the transmission on. They got to find a good transmission because they got all that power. I got to see how that ends.
Sitting for prolonged periods of time could lead to hemorrhoids, sometimes painful swollen veins in the anal area. Some of that comes down to the unique functional design of the toilet. There's a hole in the middle, Raj said. And so the actual...
I should hope so.
Hey, yeah, really. Unless your dopey friends are pulling a prank.
Get that saran wrap out of here.
You know what the worst thing must ever be, like the most stressful thing, is taking a dump at a house party? Because it's like, are you most done? Come on, man, what the fuck? That must be the most stressful thing, is taking a dump at a house party.
Oh, my God. No. Isn't it work, too? Because, you know, depending on what you're doing in there, your coworkers are going to know.
Oh, sometimes you're trying to use the bathroom. I walk into the warehouse, but I'm like, what, are you guys have fucking Mexican last night? You want a goddamn reservation?
Oh, you got to know a little bit too much about the people you spend all day with.
A little bit.
So Raj, continue. And so the actual anal rectal area is hanging a little bit lower than the parts that supported your thighs. Just by that position, gravity is causing everything to hang a bit, and that is causing pressure on the veins. So even if you're not straining, if you're just sitting there thinking of something else, doing something else, there's some pressure being applied to those veins. More subtly, there's also the risk of your body starting to ignore its own signals. Peristalsis is the name of the progressive contractions that move stool through the intestine to the rectum. Rectum, I barely knew him. But sitting on the toilet for long periods of time, not doing anything, can hinder the process.
Also, the funny thing, I told this story before, but it just cracks me up. Anthony was talking about, Anthony Kimmy on his show, and he was talking about there's a muscle that lets go because your feces is stored in one part of the intestine. And then when it feels it's ready to go, it gets released. And Anthony goes, so it's like a green room for your poop. And I'm like, and what does the MC come up? Is there anything I can tell anybody when I bring you up? Yeah, tell them I'm a piece of shit.
what a terrible lead-in.
Well, I just hope you're not corny. Anyway.
Yeah.
If you're sitting for too long and not going to the bathroom, that kind of process actually stops, Raj said. Your body could start to not recognize those signals as well, so it can lead to constipation if you're sitting for prolonged periods of time on the toilet without actually having a bowel movement. This risk, Raj noted, is more likely to be one of many factors in issues like constipation rather than the driving force. Then there's the most obvious factor. Bathrooms can be gross.
You also don't talk about newborn foal syndrome when you get up and you're stumbling around like a newborn foal because your legs fucking circulation. You ever see newborn foal look like when you get up because you have no more circulation in your legs? That's newborn foal syndrome.
Well, you just solved the mystery for me. I often wondered how shit gets on stall walls, but now I'm guessing that's the reason. They can't stand, so they just stumble into the wall.
Yeah, I've always wondered that too. It's like, holy cow.
Oh my God.
I'm going to throw my shit around, okay?
Let me tell you just one thing. When I was a janitor, there was a moment where I walked into a bathroom that had been beshitted so badly. And
Hold on, stop. Let's just take in the word beshitted.
Beshitted. You're beshitted.
I've never heard that.
I just made it up.
Well, it sounds like it should be something.
You know, the lady doth be shittish the throne room a bit too much.
No, it's a fancy way of saying you crapped your pants. I like it. Good for you.
I don't know what happened to the person in there, but it reminds me of this one meme that I saw where they said, that guy was in the fight of his life. And I went in there as the janitor and said, oh, no. Do you know? And all power to this person, because they were in a situation. They could not help, obviously. That person left a $5 bill on the sink for me.
Oh, that's hysterical.
They left a tip.
I remember when I was in the fence business, we had display sheds, and these kids got into the display sheds, and they shit in there, and they threw up in there. And I'm the manager. I got to clean it up first. I'm the guy playing the captain thing. But my brother was telling me on the sub, one of the flush line got, you know, they had to go in there into the flush tanks, and the captain did it. And the captain, he said, "Captain, that's really nice that you did that." He goes, "Yeah, I'm only doing it once. I'm not doing it again. Yeah, you guys are going to do it next." And that was my theory. I'm the fucking boss. I got to clean it up. The only time I'm ever going to do it, and it was, you know, it was beyond disgusting. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was not a good day at work. I thought, you know what? That's a class act. If you be shit at the throne room, leave a tip.
Oh, yeah.
Then there's the most obvious factor. Bathrooms can be gross. Research shows that a toilet flush can aerosolize pathogens, spreading them to nearby surfaces. Oh, Christ, it's an explosion of turds.
They're like scrubbing bubbles, but look like they're shit turds. That's why they got the scrubbing bubbles. They come after them.
Yeah. But this is the unscrubbing bubbles.
Yeah, you just see little turd emojis floating around.
Yes. Yes.
That can include your phone, if you rest it on a sink by the toilet, for example. But even beyond aerosolized bacteria, there are risks posed by plain old bad hygiene. I see a lot of people who get food poisoning or catch different things by not having good hygiene practices in the bathroom. I think Pip said she had tummy issues earlier today. Anyway, Ross said...
I do!
Stop licking your fingers after you take a shit, stupid.
Yeah. Oh, is that bad?
It's not frosting, stupid.
Oh, I thought that was pudding.
That's the funny thing about shit and frosting. Both look the same, but taste drastically different.
Joe, why don't you tell us what shit tastes like, since you apparently know?
Once again, I don't have to be in Alaska to know it's cold, okay? Thank you.
Might be delicious. Who knows?
I'm just guessing.
If you're playing video games or using your phone on the toilet, you're probably touching a lot of things that you might not want on your device. I just think, generally speaking, if you're on the toilet having a bowel movement or trying to have a movement, you shouldn't be using your fingers on anything else. If you're staying within healthy time limits and crucially always maintaining good personal hygiene, your behavior probably doesn't need to change. But if you'd like to make a change, there are some simple ways to go about it. For starters, don't assign a moral valence to staying in the bathroom for too long.
They also write, if you're really having a tough time and you're trying to pry your shit out of your ass like it's a turnip, please wash your hands while you're done.
Oh, my God. Like, I am afraid to live in this world where people have to be told that.
The rumination on the behavior can be more mentally damaging for our mental health than the behavior itself, he said. Just be intentional about your behavior, setting plans for what you do in certain things. Christ, I need a game plan to take your shit now? Joe, I'm going to need to take a shit, but here's my mission statement.
You're on a mission.
Yes.
And the thing about it is, when you really have to go, the closer you get to the house, you got to lie to your asshole. Gee whiz, asshole, it's snowy on the Arizona desert. No, we're not near the house. God, Jesus Christ, I don't know when we're getting home. Yeah.
Well, the craziest thing is that if you find that you need a restroom desperately, the closer you get to home, the more desperate you the demand becomes. It knows.
There's nothing wrong with taking your phone to the bathroom for a few minutes and doing your business, then coming out, he all said. But if you said, oh, I plan to be with my kids, but now I stayed in the bathroom for 30 minutes scrolling on TikTok or Instagram, well, now you're distracted because you plan to do something and now you're not doing it. So that's the best piece of advice, to know what you wanted to do with your time so that you have a priority to spend your time doing that thing rather than wasting it on the bathroom. It's also important to remember phones and other mobile devices aren't inherently bad, nor are they insurmountably distracting. If you find yourself perpetually losing track of time, consider whether you're attuned to bigger stresses in your life and how you're feeling in general. 90% of the time, we get distracted by our phones, in particular, is because of what's happening inside of us or trying to leave us, y'all said. Boredom, loneliness, fatigue, uncertainty, stress, anxiety, these sensations lead us to look for escape from our present reality. And so one of the important things to do with this problem, just like any distraction, is to ask ourselves, what am I escaping when I go to the bathroom for 30 minutes? Lower abdominal pain. That's what I'm escaping.
Well, you get a good story. You get caught up on TikTok or Facebook or Instagram.
What feeling am I trying to not feel by hanging out on my phone? Is it my kids are driving me crazy? Is it work is too hard? Is it that I'm bored, I'm listless, I'm stressed, and now I could take my mind off those problems? The fact of the matter is, if we don't deal with that, if we don't know how to deal with that in a healthy manner, I think we'll always find a distraction. All right. So basically, I have things in the bathroom that I use to occupy my time.
Yeah.
It's a good.
I think that's really the best line, is that there's two kinds of people: the people that look at their phone in the bathroom, and the people who lie about not doing it.
Oh yeah, no. Plus, you got to have a good collection of shithouse reading too.
Yeah, but I guess what they're trying to say is it's healthier for you if you grab People magazine to read the little quick shots in the beginning rather than go into the deep profile.
Yeah, but you don't want to be stuck reading the Pantene bottle.
Yeah. Oh, right. No. Or just like, I guess they're saying, you know, can't you be alone with your own thoughts? And are you hiding from other things you should be doing by, you know, going down the wormhole of, you know, Facebook, Instagram, whatever you're looking at in there.
The funny thing is, Vic DiBattista has a line, and he goes, yeah, I'm reading the shampoo bottle, and they go, questions or comments? I'm like, could you put a story on this?
Yeah, really.
I bring the phone into the bathroom. I think we all do. You might miss a call.
We all do.
Yeah, sure.
I don't usually spend more than 10 minutes, though. Unless there's something really wrong.
Yeah. I mean, because that would be the signal that, hey, God, I've been in here a long time, and I thought things should be percolating, but they're not. What's what's wrong?
But sometimes I'll bring it in, I get caught up, you know, on Instagram or something like that. Or if I bring the magazine in, we just put the 454. Now we've reached out and got a torque flight transmission, which we're bolting on. Well, I got to see how this fucking thing is going to fit.
You got to see how it ends.
They got to make notches on the transmission tunnel. I can't go anywhere. You know, so yeah.
Distractions definitely keep you on in the bathroom longer than you would if you just got in and out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I just never thought about that whole thing with that gravity is sucking everything down, and that's bad for your butt. I mean, do we need butt bras now?
Well, you got a squatty potty. Have you ever seen those things with the stairs, the squatty potty?
Yes! I never got one, but it's like, you know what? It does kind of make sense. And why do we change the position? It's just because, you know, we're not thinking, like, biologically the way that, you know, we used to do it when we were just like a step above the animals, you know?
Yeah. And the funny thing is, if you look at it, it's like, well, what should we name this thing? Well, apparently shit stool was voted down.
You know what's a shame?
I don't know.
In the 80s, we had cushiony toilet seats. Now you would stick to them, but it was softer. Oh. It was softer for the tush.
Yeah, but it was disgusting.
Yeah, but they'd also stay warm, you know? It's like, oh, there's nothing more foul than a warm toilet seat. Oh, because it's just a reminder of somebody's ass has just been there. Oh, God.
You speak to clinch like a fist when you sat on one of them things. You know, I like to get the ones with the bidet built in on the thing where it shoots water up your ass.
Really? Yeah. I mean, I do understand why people have those. It's just...
Because we haven't had those,
you know, in America for a very long time. It still seems a little odd.
I want water. I want my asshole to feel like a new ship coming into the harbor. That's what I want.
I think that's a good place to take a break. On the break.
Yes.
On the break.
One more thing. Wrong with you ever see when a piece of shit breaks off in the toilet? Don't you want to see that thing like an episode of Mannix to be continued? Because, you know.
No, I don't want to see that.
Broken in half to be continued. Dun, dun, dun.
Joe's the only one who looks down in the toilet and sees an ellipsis. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I had an exercise in there. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. On the break, we have new music from Buntanani with Tango Lady and Salzo with Too Late. You can learn more about both artists at deucemusic.com. When we come back, we will pick up with Jelena of Scamming Scammers. We started her last week. Joe has the over. It's going to last more than 6 months. Pip has the under. She does not see love in the cards. We will see where this progresses. We'll be right back.